Thank you.
It's a real joy and a real privilege as well to come and bring God's word to you today. And Andrew and I shared many things in Christian ministry over the years, and we're still friends. So that's great. And it's great. I pray for Andrew and for Joanne, their girls. So it's great to actually be here and to see where you are those Sunday mornings. Good. John chapter 15. We're going to be looking at that this morning. John chapter 15. And in these verses that Andrew read to us, Jesus speaks of fruit. He mentions the word fruit 9 times in these verses. So it's obviously an important thing. Fruit. We're told that fruit is good for us. I prefer chocolate, but we're told that fruit is very good for us. We're told, I've looked this up, that actually fruit can give us essential vitamins and minerals, and it's high in fibre. It can provide us with a wide range of health-boosting antioxidants. And you can be sure that a few weeks ago, when 2023 turned into 2024, some people, probably many people, made a New Year's resolution to eat healthier. And so they went to Tesco's and they looked for the fruit, because fruit surely is a healthy thing. So they would go to Tesco's to get their oranges and blueberries and apples and avocados and bananas. And they wouldn't look at the shelves. That's not particularly interesting. They'd look at the fruit. What was the fruit like? Was it past its sell-by date? Was it too squidgy? Was it too ripe? Would it last a few days back at home? All kinds of questions about the fruit, not the shelving, but the fruit. You look for the fruit. How good is the fruit? And you get the impression here from John chapter 15 and the words of Jesus that that's exactly what he's doing in our lives. He's looking for the fruit. How good is the fruit? So this morning, I just want to ask us 3 questions. 1, what is this fruit that Jesus looks for? 2, how does it grow? And 3, why did Jesus bother to tell us about this in the first place? So the what, the why, the how, and the why. So first of all, what kind of fruit are we talking about here in John chapter 15? Well, as we've already mentioned, a variety of fruit, but it's fruit. So you can have apples and bananas and pears, and they're all different kinds of fruit, but they're fruit. And it's the same in our life. The fruit is what God looks for, but there's different types of fruit that God looks for. Let me mention 3 kinds of fruit that God looks for. First of all, he looks for the produce of my life. What is my life producing? What is my attitude producing in my life? What is my worldview producing in my life? What is my life giving out? When you leave the door, when you exit the conversation, what's left behind? What fruit are we giving out? Sometimes people can give out a lot of bad fruit. Someone waltzes into your life and everything seems absolutely wonderful. But actually, that person then leaves and he or she will leave devastation in your life. Your life is a mess. The bad life has produced bad fruit. Someone else can come into your life or into your conversation and it can be absolutely wonderful and it continues to be that way. And you're blessed through the presence of that person in your life because they've given out good fruit. What is the produce of my life? What am I giving out? One person asked this question. If I continue on in the life I am now living, will that be the life I want? That's a great question. So what is my life giving out? What am I leaving with other people? What's the produce of my life? This is what God looks for. He looks for what we leave behind when we're gone in a conversation. conversation or in life. The second kind of fruit that God looks for is the fruit of repentance. Now, if you can, in Luke chapter 3, you can turn there and you'll see some of the words of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said to the crowds in Luke chapter 3 and verse 7, John the Baptist said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." So there is a fruit that repentance brings about. So here's John the Baptist saying, okay, don't just have the act of baptism, don't just seem to be all keen in listening to the word, but actually come to repentance and let your life have the fruit of that repentance. Well, what was it? Well, John goes on to say in verse 10, "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. And John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same." So that is the fruit of a concern for the poor and for those in need. The fruit of concern for the poor and those in need. It goes on, verse 12, "Even the tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" And John replied, "Don't collect any more than you are required to." So that is the fruit of a concern for honesty and trustworthiness. The fruit is honesty and trustworthiness. Verse 14, "Then some soldiers asked him, 'And what should we do?' And John replied, 'Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay.'" It's the fruit of a concern for integrity, truthfulness, and contentment. And God looks for those things in our life. The fruit of repentance. The fruit of concern for those in need. The fruit of honesty and trustworthiness. The fruit of integrity, truthfulness, and contentment. So the first kind of fruit God looks for is the produce of our lives. What are we giving out? The second kind of fruit that God looks for is the fruit of repentance. The third kind of fruit that God looks for is the obvious one in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Those are beautiful qualities. That fruit is eye-catching, it's head-turning. Someone with that kind of fruit is a traffic-stopping Christian. People will look at them. And that kind of fruit sets you apart. It will set you apart in the workplace, will set you apart in the street, will set you apart in the home and in the community. People notice those who are full of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What a tremendous bunch of fruit. So it's those kind of, that kind of fruit, those three areas of fruit that God looks for in our life. The outcome of our lifestyle, the fruit of repentance, and the fruit of the Spirit. And God looks for this in abundance. If you're back to John chapter 15 now, you'll see in verse 5 that Jesus speaks about much fruit. And in verse 8, again, much fruit. God wants our lives to be dripping with this fruit, a bumper crop. God wants to see so much good from our lives. So much concern for those in need. So much honesty and trustworthiness. So much integrity and truthfulness. And so much love, joy, and peace. And those things are beautiful, and those things are what the world lacks, and those things are what heaven can give to the world through us, his people. This fruit, God delights in that fruit. We flourish with that fruit, and the community we live in will be blessed if we have that kind of fruit. So let's get this picture in our mind of how good, blessed, beautiful and wonderful this fruit is. So let's now ask the second question then, not now what is the fruit, but how does this fruit grow in our lives? Well, God produces it in us. How? In three ways. First, God produces this fruit in our lives as we submit ourselves to his dealings with us. God deals with us. God works in our life. And sometimes we can rebel against God's ways with us. But it's as we submit ourselves to God's dealings with us that the fruit grows. Let's see how this happens. Verse 1. Note Jesus' words. My Father is the gardener. He's at work. My Father is the gardener. And God is not an armchair gardener simply watching Gardener's World on TV. He gets to work in our lives. He's in action. Look what he does, verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. There's a warning. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So to prune is to cut stuff away. And that's what God does for us in his dealings with us. Sometimes we cannot understand why God is at work in our life as he is. Some of the things that happen to us, we think, there's no way I'd choose that for myself. Some difficult times, some trials, some suffering, some bereavement, some grief. All kinds of things happen to us in God's providence and God's ways. And we're thinking, God, what are you doing? I can't make sense of this. But actually what God is doing in every act of his in our life is pruning us. He's cutting away things from our life which are not good for us in spiritual ways. So God gets to work. He cuts away things that hinder our spiritual growth and development. He cuts away things that will muddy our heart and spoil our spirit. And he gets to work on anything that's stopping us being righteous, truthful, kind, patient, and fruitful and faithful. And at times that hurts. But God is at work in our life. He's at work in our life through his word, when his word comes to us powerfully. He's at work in our life through his providence, with the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And he's at work in our life in our difficulties and our sufferings and trials and hardships. God is the gardener. And a gardener's got to pull out the weeds. The gardener has to prune the vine. And this is what God does. He prunes us. Why? So that we might be even more fruitful. God is not at work in us to make our lives a misery. God is not at work in us to damage us. God is at work in us to make us flourish, even more fruitful. And our task, as God works in our life, our task is to submit to him. And as we submit to his ways, the fruit develops. The second way that this fruit develops in our life is in verses 4 and 5. It grows as we remain in Jesus. It grows as we remain in Jesus. The older version has, as you abide in me. And there's something quite wonderful about that word abide as opposed to remain. You can remain somewhere and you can just remain somewhere. But you might not be happy remaining there, but that's where you are. You just remain there. It's different from I'm choosing to abide there. Because that's a good place. That's the same word that's used, but our translation has remain. But let's take it as abide in Jesus. Fruit only grows as it remains or abides on the branch in the vine. So godly fruit only grows in our life as we abide in Jesus. We've got this sad inability to produce godly fruit on our own. We can't do it. Look what Jesus said in verse 4. neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. He actually repeats that in verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Our nature is biased towards sin and bad stuff, bad fruit, rotten stuff. And Jesus says, you've got to remain in me, abide in me, so that the good fruit will come out. Makes you ask a question about Jesus, actually, doesn't it? Who was he to say this? To actually say in verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. I mean, that is some statement, isn't it? Imagine if you or I went up to someone and said, look, mate, you can't do anything without me. They would say, who are you? Who are you to say that? We wouldn't say it, would we? But Jesus does. He comes up to us and he says, you can't do anything without me. Therefore, we've got to remain in him. We've got to abide in him. Why? So that we will produce much fruit. We need to remember that in our Christian lives. So often we can become crazy people and self-sufficient people and try to get on with life without Jesus. We'll collapse, we'll make a mess of things. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we need to abide in Jesus. How do we do that? We do that by recognizing him in all that we do, to acknowledge him day by day. It's a conscious decision made lots and lots of times to remain in Jesus. It's a conscious, every morning you make a decision, a conscious decision to get out of bed. You may not want to get out of bed. You may prefer to stay in bed. And you don't just float out of bed. It doesn't happen. Ooh, I'm out of bed. It doesn't happen. You have to make a conscious decision. Okay, I'm going to get up. And you get up. And it's the same with Jesus. We make this conscious decision every day that we might remain in him. Now, of course, we did that on the day we became a Christian. But high heaven that heard that solemn vow, that vow shall be heard daily. So we make the vow to follow Jesus right at the beginning. And every day we make that solemn vow repeated. Today I'm a Christian. Today I need Jesus. Today I abide in him. And it's as we live in him and make him our frame of reference for everything that the fruit grows. Look at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love. It's a wonderful invitation, isn't it? To abide in the love of Jesus. Jesus is not asking us to remain or to abide in bad things. He says, look, I've got so much love for you. And my Father has so much love for you. Why step outside of that? Why go anywhere else? Abide in my love. And if you keep my commands, that's the way to abide in my love. And we will produce much fruit as we keep the commands of God. So how do we produce this fruit? Well, first, by submitting to God's ways. And second, by abiding in the love of Jesus. Third, the fruit grows as we engage in prayer. As we engage in prayer. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. It's a tremendous promise here to those that are abiding in Christ. Ask for whatever you wish. Well, there's interesting. What does that mean? Does it mean that if I ask for a Ferrari, I'm bound to get one? Does it mean if I ask for good health for the rest of my life, that will happen? Does it mean that if I ask that I never have to wait at a bus stop for a bus again, the bus will be there immediately I get there? Does it mean that if I ask that I can flap my arms and fly, I miss all the traffic? What does it mean? Ask for whatever you wish. Well, the context is all important. Remember what Jesus is talking about? He's talking about abiding in him and producing this godly fruit. And those two things are the key to understanding asking for whatever you wish for. So we abide in him. So our relationship with Jesus is not just a transactional relationship. I ask, he gives. I ask, he gives. The relationship with Jesus is an intimate one. I abide in him. I become like him. I begin to ask for the things that he asks for. And what is the context all about? The fruit. So Jesus is saying, what fruit do you wish for? What do you want your life to be like? What fruit do you want? Pray for that fruit to be developed in your life. Oh, I wish I was more patient. Pray you'd be more patient. I wish I was more self-controlled. Pray you'll be self-controlled. What do you wish for in your life, in your Christian life? Ask for it. And pray about those things that you know you have a particular problem with. So are you mean and miserable? Well, pray that God would make you generous and happy. Do you have a problem with cruelty? Pray for kindness. Do you have a problem with discontent? Pray for contentment. Do you have a problem with indifference? Pray for compassion. Do you have a problem with anger? Then pray for peace and patience. Do you have a problem with holding your tongue? Then pray for self-control. What do you wish for? Pray for it. As you abide in Jesus with this fruit, pray for it. And God will produce it in your life. Do not ignore prayer as a means to spiritual fruitfulness. So, what have we seen so far? Coming to our last point now. We have asked, first of all, what is this fruit? And then we have just asked, how is the fruit produced? Well, now finally, let's ask, why did Jesus bother to tell us about this in the first place? That's always a good question to ask about anything in the scriptures. Why is this here? What does God want me to know through this? Why did Jesus tell his disciples this? Three reasons. One, because our bearing fruit glorifies God. And Jesus wants us to live for the glory of God. Look at verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Glorifying God through the fruit we bear. What does it mean to glorify God? To glorify him is, of course, to praise and to honour him and to worship him, to speak of his fame and renown. And we can do that, of course, through our songs, through our life. But especially through our life can we glorify God. You see, God is glorified when something within him is honoured, magnified and shown for its beauty and majesty. So, God is just and righteous. Therefore, when my character is just and righteous, it glorifies that quality in God. So God is glorified when one of his attributes, when one of his characteristics is seen in my life. Because then people will look at that and give glory to my Father in heaven. Likewise, God is faithful and patient and kind. Therefore, when we are faithful, patient and kind, we bring attention to that quality in God. Look at God. He is patient, faithful and kind. So the invisible God becomes visible through our lives on earth. So this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. The fruit that we bear gets people to glorify God. Heaven is streamed to earth through our fruit bearing. When I live in a way that shows God's holy character, then God is glorified. When peace and compassion and mercy are seen in my life, that attribute of God is glorified and people honour him. So why did Jesus tell us this? Because he wants his Father glorified. Second, Jesus told us this because bearing fruit brings real deep joy to our life. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Wonderful. My joy becomes your joy, says Jesus. How come? Because Jesus was the most fruitful person who's ever lived, and that brought him a lot of joy. So when we become like Jesus being fruitful, his joy becomes our joy. His joy is dragged and dropped into our life. And the way to get complete joy is by bearing fruit for Jesus. So if we want to live the joyful life, bear fruit. And that's what Jesus wants. Jesus doesn't want us to live miserable, dull lives. He wants us to live a life full of joy. So he says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you. Now grasp that, because in verse 11, it's just what Jesus said. You can picture the disciples around Jesus. He was saying this at the Last Supper. You can picture them. You can picture Peter, because he was always blundering with his words. You could picture Peter saying, well, Jesus, why did you tell me that? And Jesus says, I've told you this so that my joy might be in you, Peter. I tell you this so that my joy might be in you. Jesus spoke that our joy might be full. And thirdly, Jesus told us this because bearing fruit shows us to be true disciples of Jesus. Bearing fruit shows us to be true disciples of Jesus. Look at verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So how does a person know that I'm a Christian? It's not just by the confession of my mouth. It's by the display of the fruit in my life. We can claim to be Christians until the cows come home. We can sing worship songs sweeter than Doris Day or Taylor Swift. But the only way that anyone will know that we are actually disciples of Jesus is if we bear this fruit. For Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, by their fruit you will know them. So what have we seen? We've seen the fruit is the fruit of our lifestyle, the fruit of repentance, the fruit of the Spirit. We've seen how to get this fruit, submit to God's dealings, abide in Jesus, ask for whatever you wish. And the result of all that is that you live a life that glorifies your Father in heaven. You will have the real joy of Jesus in your life, and you'll show others that you belong to him. What's not to like? It's just what we need every day. It's just what we need. And every day we can be a fruit bearer for Jesus, so that every day God is glorified in your life. Every day you can have the joy of Jesus in your life. And every day someone will know you're his disciple.